Okay, do I have to say something here?
Nice.
Okay, beautiful. This weekly shiur from Maseches Ma'akatan is dedicated by David and Paula Baumser and OMO Construction, the official Chol HaMoed Halacha Observing Construction Company of Passaic, New Jersey. The weekly breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Uli Nishmas, Shimon Ben Zev, Vega Bas Chaim, and...
we wish him a mazel tov today.
That's right, we wish him a mazel tov, right? He's making a chasana, or he's...
A daughter or a son got engaged.
Somebody got engaged, right. Yeah, somebody got engaged, right. Okay, v'lo shel nashim la'olam yivnei ha'kavod, says the Gemara, Amri Nahardoi. So they would say in Nahardoi, lo shanu ela chayo. This notion that you would leave the mace a little bit, almost in state, right? So that for a kavod for the mace, that's, right, lo shanu, that we don't do this for nashim, right? V'lo shel nashim la'olam, we never do this for nashim, for women, because it's not mechubedik. That's only true for a woman who died machmas vlad, says Rashi. A woman who died in labor, which used to be, unfortunately, much more common. And why is that? Shehi shofa'as. Because of the physiological realities of passing away during labor, it could be that over the course of lying in state, the woman would continue to bleed. And that's not a mechubad, situation, environment for the woman, and so therefore we don't do this. About shar nashim, they would say in Ardai, but other women, manichin, they would allow this kibbut. Rabbi Elazar Omer, afilu shar nashim, even other women. Dechsev, as it says in the pasuk, vatamas sham Miriam, that Miriam died there, but tikaver sham, and she was buried there. Samach lemisa kivura. And you see by Miriam, they juxtapose the report of her misa to her kavura, because it was done right away. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, Af Miriam b'nishika mesa. You should know that Miriam also died this very painless and spiritual death, the death of the kiss, of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Af Miriam b'nishika mesa. Asya sham mimoshe. Right? And it's learned out from Moshe. Right? Because it says, Vayomas sham Moshe. It says, Vayomas sham Miriam. And so therefore, we compare the two, just like Moshe died b'nishika, so too Miriam died b'nishika. Why doesn't it say with regards to her, al pi Hashem? In other words, why doesn't the Torah explicate with regards to Miriam that she died with this misas nishika? It's a form of tremendous kavod. Mipnei sheginai hadavar la'omro. Because there's a little bit of a lack of tznius to describe and depict the death of a tzadekes as happening through the kiss of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And because it's a little bit of a gnai, therefore it's not said explicitly, even though it was, in fact, the way that it took place. Amar Rav Ami, Lama nismecha misas Miriam leparshas para aduma. Why does the Torah juxtapose the death of Miriam to the parsha of para aduma? Lama lecha to tell you, Ma para aduma mechaperes, just like para aduma, is a vehicle for atonement, right? Af misas shel tzadikim mechaperes. So too, the death of righteous ones are a vehicle for atonement. Sometimes a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes the best of the best, the greatest of the great. It's very hard to understand if they're living their lives in total alignment with the expectations of the Torah. So why in the world would their life come to an end? Certainly, why in the world would their life ever come to a premature end? Chas v'shalom. So there is this notion that the Misa of a Tzaddik is somehow mechaper for the Avonos of the Jewish people.
Same thing happened with Chanoch.
Right, right. Taken before. Amar Rav Elazar, Lamanis Mecha Misa Aaron, the Big Day Kahuna. Why is the Misa of Aaron juxtaposed to the elucidation of the details of the Big Day Kahuna? Mag Big Day Kahuna Mechaprim, just like the Big Day Kahuna. Each one is Mechaper on a different Avera. So too, Af Misas Shel Tzadikim Mechaperes. And the Mefarshim discuss why you need both of these examples, and some of them point to the notion that one is more global and one is more specific. The notion that we learn it from the Para Aduma. The Para Aduma is a more global vehicle for Tahara, which also is done in a manner that is Mechaper for certain Chatoim. and the big day kahuna sort of diversify the chataim into individual types of kapara. And so therefore, that's another manner in which the Misa of Tzadikim is mechaper. Sometimes the generation just needs some sort of sacrifice, and sometimes there are specific issues, there are specific chataim in the generation that need the sacrifice of a tzaddik. The challenge is we don't always know what those specific reasons are, what those specific messages are, and that's why it's incumbent upon us, and this is really the point of the Gemara, that when we lose a tzaddik, there is a sense of a lack of worthiness on the part of the Jewish people. That having greatness within our midst is not something we're entitled to. Having greatness within our midst is a result of what the generation is worthy of. If the generation behaves in such a way that they are worthy of great people leading them, then they'll have great leaders. And if the generation ignores the expectations of the Torah, so then we're not worthy of great leaders, and those leaders are taken away from us. So when that happens, it is incumbent upon us to not just say to ourselves, okay, that's a tragedy, that's a trauma, it's a tremendous loss, but to introspect and to figure out what could be improved. To associate a particular chait with the loss of a particular gadol is never something that could be done with any degree of confidence by anybody. We're not Nevi'im, but as the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tainis, that does not take away the obligation, that does not remove the obligation to introspect and try to figure out what areas of Klal Yisrael require a certain sense of elevation. I heard from the mother of Avram David Moses, who was one of the boys who was killed in Yeshivas Merkaz Arav, Rivka Moriaz, his mother. And I met her, and whatever, she sent me a set of mishnayos. So she told me that when she was going through his stuff after he was murdered, she found a Gemara, and I don't know if it was Mike Cotton or another place where this shows up in Shas, and there was a bookmark, I guess, where he was up to, and when she opened it up, it was the Gemara of Misas Tzadikim Mechaprim. She took that as a simen that there was some sense of not purpose, but some sense of meaning, in such a horrible experience. Wow. Yeah, so there are many interesting stories with that. So the Gemara says the following: Tana Rabbanan. So this is going to be a little bit of a difficult concepts. Tana Rabbanan, meis pitom, zui mitzva, misa chatufa. If a death is sudden, that is what's called chatuf, which is like sort of like abrupt, like right away. It's a misa chatufa. Chalo yom echad, if the person is sick for one day, v'meis, zui misa dechufa. That's considered a quick death. Rav Chanina ben Gamliel omer, zui misa magefa. That's considered more like a plague. Now remember, this is talking about an era of history without anywhere near the medical intervention that we have today. So this is talking about what would be the natural course of events of a person without the interventional things that we have that we can accomplish. Shenemar, mitzvah dechufer, chaninu begamliel omer, zui mitzvah misas magefa. That's a misa that's like magefa, like a plague. Shenemar, ben adam hineni lokeach mimcha es machmarei necha. Shem saying to Yechezkel, behold, son of man, I'm going to take from you the pleasing of your eyes, your wife, b'magefa, with a magefa v'ksiv, and it says afterwards, v'adaber el ha'am, I'll speak to the nation, b'boker v'tomas ishti b'erev, and the wife died in the evening. So you see that it's called a magefa even when it's that amount apart. Shnei yamim v'meis, if they're sick for 2 days and they pass away, zui misas dechuya. That's like a misa that's quick, that's coming quickly. Gimel, if it's 3 days, ge'ara. Already that's more of a musar, of a rebuke. Arba'a, if it's 4 days, nezifa. That's more of a scorn. Chamisha, zui misas kol adam. And 5 days of illness, that is considered what is natural. Amar Rav Chanin, Maikra. So Rav Chanin says, what does the pasuk mean? Hein kirvu yamecha lamus, by Moshe. Hein, that's one. Kirvu Trey, that's two, that's three. Yamecha Trey, another two, that's five. Ochamisha, that's five. Hein Chad, how do you know that Hein refers to one? Shekein Belashin Yevani, because in Greek, Korin La'achas, they say one with the word hen. Meis Bechamishim Shana, if a person dies at 50 years old, Zui Misas Kores. That's considered a Misa of Kores, that your life was shortened. For some reason, chamishim v'shtayim. Let's say you live to 52. Shana zui misaso shel Shmuel haramasi. That's the misa like Shmuel. Shmuel died at 52. Mefarshim discuss why Hashem took Shmuel Shmuel early. He didn't want to see the fall of the Malchus of Shaul. Shishim, if you live till 60, zui misa bidei shamayim. That's called a misa bidei shamayim. Amar marzutro maikra. What does the pasuk mean when it says Tavo biklach elai kever biklach begematria? Right, when it says you will go to the grave at a mature age, bekelach refers begematria. She's in that is 60. Habu shivim, if it's 70, seva, that is considered old age. Shmonim, if you die at 80, givuros, you're considered already a gibor, a strong person. We say this pasuk every Shabbos, that if you live till 70, that's the normal days of the life. Bigvuros, if you're strong, then shmonim shana, then that's 80 years. Amar Rabba, mechamishim vad shishim shana, zui misas kares. Really, from 50 all the way to 60, if you die in your 50s, that's considered misas kares. V'haydelo chashiv lahu, and the fact that the Brisa doesn't explicate that that is a misa of kares, mishim kvodo shel Shmuel haramasi. Out of kavod for Shmuel haramasi, who died at 52, that people should not say that he died by misas kares. Rav Yosef kihava bar shisin, avod lahu tava l'rabbanan. Rav Yosef, when he reached the age of 60, he made a yom tov l'rabbanan. He made a birthday party. Amar nafik li mikares, because he said, this is a good party because I'm no longer in the zone of dying of kares. So Amar le Abaye nihid nafik le mar mikares deshani. You're right that the master is not subject to the death of kares of years, but mikares de yomi minafik mar. So, but the kares of days, which means if dying after 1 day of illness or 2 days of illness or 3 days of illness, that type of kares you're still subject to. So what are you making this party for? Amar le nakut lecha. You know what? If you have half in your hand, take what you got. So celebrate the moments. And you know what? There's a lot of wisdom to that, right? I'm sure many people have experience in the family. Oh, 89, we'll wait till 90, right? Then we'll make the big party, right? Then everyone's standing around and regretting not. Sometimes when life presents moments to celebrate, you grab them and you celebrate them and you appreciate them. Because is what this Gemara is basically telling us, is that life is fragile, and we don't always know what's going to be. And we have to live with a certain recognition of the fragility of life. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna nach nafshei pisom. Rav Huna died suddenly. Ava kadagi rabbanon, the rabbanon were worried what this meant. Tana lehu zuga demi hadayev. Lo shanu, ela shelo igil legvuros. By igil legvuros, zui misas nashika. So he said, no. This notion that if you die abruptly, that's some sort of simon of kares, that's only if you die abruptly before givuros, before 80. If you die after 80 in that way, that's what's called a misas nashika. You didn't have to go through any illness at all. So Amar Rava says, Rava, chaye bini umizone lo bischusa talya milsa, ela bimazola talya milsa. So this is a very enigmatic statement in the Gemara, difficult to understand, but Rava makes the statement that the life of my children and my sustenance is not tolui in my schusim, it's tolui in mazel, right? Mazel is really another way of saying fate, right? Whether the mazalos have to do with certain constellations, but fate. What is fate? Fate means there's some sort of predestined path of what's going to happen to a person that is outside the influence of the behavior of a person. So, and he brings a raya, the harab of Rav Chisda, because look at Rab and Rav Chisda. Tarvayu Rabbanan Sadiqei Abba, they're both great rabbis. Mar matzli v'asli mitra, mar matzli v'asli mitra. They could both pray and it would rain. This one could pray and it would rain. That one could pray and it would rain. Rav Chisda avi tishin v'tartin shnin. Rav Chisda lived till 92. Rabba chaya arboin. Rabba only lived till 40. Bei Rav Chisda, the house of Rav Chisda, shisin elule bei Rav. They made like 60 chasanas. Bei Rabba, shisin tichli, they made like 60 levayas. Bei Rav Chisda, smidi lekal bei v'lo misboi. They used to feed, they used to have the type of grain that you would feed even to a, they could even feed it to a dog. V'lo misboi. Bei Rav, nehama de sha'ari le'inchi v'lo mishtakach. And they add, they didn't, never needed more. Bei Rabba, nehama de sha'ari le'inchi v'lo mishtakach. They mishtakach. They used to have grain, you know, like animal, like barley to people, and they didn't even have enough of that. So you see, both their lives of their children and their sustenance are subject to fate because they're both tzaddikim, and yet it's only their mazel that must have. So the challenge with this Gemara is it goes really, you know, it's really inconsistent. First of all, there's a statement in the Gemara, I think in Shabbos, Ein mazel Yisrael. Right, that even if there is fate in the world, that Klal Yisrael somehow our destiny rises above mazolos. Right, I always understood mazolos and all these constellations to be the following: that there are certain, you know, it's sort of like a reductionist view of the world. There are certain, you know, patterns of the universe that just exist. That in theory, if you were to break down, you know, every circumstance in the physical world, you could trace the factors that contributed to the reality of that circumstance to certain physical, you know, properties or certain physical laws that govern the universe. Mazalos, that whatever the rotation of the earth, the climate, the atmosphere, whatever this means with the constellations, but there's a certain momentum of reality that's moving forward. We don't know what all those causes are because we haven't mastered, from a scientific perspective, all of the different elements of the universe that contribute to what happens. But we do believe in cause and effect. We do believe that there are principles of physics. We do believe that ultimately we don't know why someone on this diet doesn't get sick and someone on the same diet does get sick, but we know there are many other factors. There's genetics, there's environment, but what we know is it's not, we don't mean that it's luck. We don't mean this person is luck and that person is not luck. It means there are mazolos. There are certain, we don't know exactly what the reasons are, and if we did, it would be of inestimable value for us, but somehow in the patterns of the world, there is an inevitable outcome to the environment, to all the physical realities. That's what it means that the world is governed by mazalos. Hashem takes Avram out and says to him, look at the sky, look at the mazalos. It says you're not going to have a nation, you're not going to have children. What that means is, I will show you, this is what he was showing him, I will show you the blueprint of the world. I will show you the code. Right? I will show you what's really behind the back end of everything, why it happens. We look at the front end, Kadosh Baruch Hu can see the back end. I will show you why the code leads to this reality. And then I will tell you that Ein mazel Yisrael, that you have the possibility. So the Gemara in Shabbos says Ein mazel Yisrael. So what do you mean there's mazel? So some Mefarshim say that and the Pesukim in the Torah say that if we do the right thing, good things will happen. If we do the wrong thing, bad things will happen. So what do you mean everything's just up to fate and the world's in a certain sense of patterns and it's inevitable what's going to happen? So some Mefarshim say, no, what it means is that there is a Ein mazel Yisrael means we have the capacity to transcend the mazel. It doesn't mean we're not subject to mazel at all. In other words, it's not like we have a blank slate. And if we do the right thing, good things will happen. And if we don't do the right thing, then we'll sort of be... No, there's a certain mazel, there's a certain inevitable fate that's going to happen to a human being. But you have the power to change and to alter and to transcend and to manipulate that fate if you live your life in a certain way. And if through tefillah and through all these different things. And that's what it means to dive into a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It means to recognize, that's why the dependency is so crucial. This is not a ritual. This is not just like, oh, you know, here's something we do to sacrifice something to God. It's not just a ritual. It's a absolute affirmation and belief that God created the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, and therefore is in control of the back end, the realities that ultimately govern the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only being that without disrupting the larger reality of life, right, Ayin Shem, Back to the Future 1 and 2, right, without disrupting the time-space continuum, right, with a Mr. Fusion DeLorean, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could change what's going to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could change what's going to happen and could recalibrate all the other realities that exist around it. And that's what it means. So that's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, you look at life, and sometimes life looks like it's fate. And you know what? Sometimes it is fate. Sometimes it is fate. Sometimes it's on, there's hashkacha in the world. The hashkacha is Kadosh Baruch Hu's governing the world, and the world is sort of set for this to happen. You want to stop it from happening, or you want to change what's going to happen? Step up. Step up. V'amar Rava, hani t'las mili boi kamoi, shmaya. Three things that I davened for. Tarti, yavuli, chadalo yavuli. Two were given to me. One was not given to me. Not bad. Right? Chochmisa de Rav Huna. I davened for the chochma of Rav Huna. V'usre de Rav Chizda. I davened for the wealth of Rav Chizda. V'yavli. That I got.
Wouldn't that one kind of be a little bit of jealousy?
Anna, what do you mean jealousy?
He's davening for the wealth of Rav Chizda.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, listen. Get somebody that's got money, all right? I'd like to be like him.
Right. It sounds a little bit. A little bit. Maybe it's like I see what Rav Chizda is able to accomplish in his life through having this lifestyle, and I also want to accomplish. You're allowed to be jealous of people's accomplishments in the realm of spiritual, right? We're not supposed to be jealous of people's stuff, but we can be jealous of people's accomplishments in the realm of kinasof from tar b'chachma. That means that's okay. That we're allowed to be jealous of. You can't be jealous of somebody's physical things. It could be, but maybe that's what it is. That he had a she'ifa to be able to. Right? We all say, you know, everybody. The rabbis always get up and they talk about, you know, wealth is such a nesayin and it's. You can't imagine, and you know, and all of us are sitting there when we listen to these shmuz, and we're like, you know what, I'll kind of take that nesayin, you know what I mean? Like, bring it on, you know, let's see how I handle going away for Pesach to a 5-star hotel, you know what I mean? Well, like I'll take that nesayin, I'll figure it out. So, but I asked for the anavos, maybe this gets to David's point, of Rabba Barav, Huna lo yevnili, and that I couldn't get. And this discussed also, that, you know, what do you mean you davened for the anova of somebody, for the humility of somebody? Hakol b'dei shamayim chutz miyira shamayim, right? Except according to the, right, some of the more extreme formulations of the Ishbitzer, right? But the, so what exactly does that mean? You davened for his anova. Maybe you davened for the opportunity to be able to develop that anova. Maybe that's it. I don't know. That sounds kind of like I'm twisting it to make sense. Rav Seorim Achva de Rava. So Rav Seorim, the brother of Rava, Havi Yosef Kameh de Rava, he was sitting before Rava. Chazia de Havi Kameh Namne. And he saw that he was starting to pass away. So Amar Leis, he says to him, Lemele Mar de Lolitzaron. So Rava says to this Rav Seorim, he says to him, tell the Malach HaMoves not to bother me. So Amar Le Mar Lav Shishbinu. I mean, you're Rava. You're a big gadol. You know, can't you tell him not to bother you? So Amar Le came to Imser Mazla Lo Eshkechpi. He was already given permission to take my life. That's the mazel of what's supposed to happen now. So I can't contend with him. So Amar Le Lischazi Li Mar says, when you pass away, I want you to come appear to me. So Mar Ischazi Li Mar. So Ischazi Le came and appeared to him. Amar Le said to him, Havile Lamar Tsara, was it Mitsara? Did it hurt to pass away? So Amar Le, ki rivda de chusilsa. It hurt like the puncture of a needle. Right? I was thinking this Gemara is a validation when you take your kids for a shot and they say it kills. Right? That's Mistama, what the Gemara is saying. Literally, it kills. Rabbi Abba Yosef came to Rav Nachman. Rabbi was standing before Rav Nachman. Chazdi come in Amnim. So Rav Nachman was starting to pass away. Amr Lei 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 Mar Delo Litzaron. Tell him not to tell him Alchemavus not to bother me. Amr Lei Mar Lab Adam Chashivu. You're an Adam Chashiv. Shouldn't bother you. So Amr Lei Man Chashiv Man Sapin Man Rakia. Who's Chashiv? Who's great? Who's elevated? Amr Lei Lischazuli Mar. So appear to me. So Lischazulei appeared to him after he passed away. Amr Lei Avalei Lamar Tzara. Was there pain? Amarle kemishchal benisa mechalba. It felt like removing a hair from milk, meaning it did not hurt at all. The Amarle HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nevertheless, and God said to me, Zil Bahu Alma, go back to this world, Kad Avis, lo be'ina denafish bisusei. I wouldn't want to do it just because of the fear of death. In other words, the death itself was not painful, but the anticipation, the fear of the Malacham Avis was very challenging. Rabbi Eliezer, Avi Kochel, Truma. Rabbi Eliezer was eating Truma. His Chazi Lei, the Malcham of us, came to get him. Amar Lei, Truma Kol Chilna. I'm eating Truma, V'lav Kodesh, Yikra. It's called Kodesh. You're going to be Metame, all this Truma, if you kill me now. So Chafalei Shata, so the time passed. He had to come back another time. Rav Sheshes, his Chazi Lei B'shuka. Rav Sheshes, the Malcham of us, tried to take him in the market. Amar Lei B'shuka K'behema. You're going to take me in the market like a behema? That's not a B'kavadik. So Asa L'gabe Beisa. So eventually he went to his home, and he passed away at home. Rav Ashi is Chazalei B'shuka. Amar Lei Israch Li Tolsin Yomi. Give me 30 days. V'ahadri L'talmudoi. Because I want to review my learning. D'amriso. As it says, Ashrei Misha Balekan V'Talmuda B'Yodo, that there is a great praise to an individual who ends up when they arrive at the gates of Shemayim V'Talmuda B'Yodo, and their learning is in their hands. Their learning is in their hands, meaning that they have a grasp over Torah, and this is important that we recognize that part of our obligation of Talmud Torah is time and is energy and is investment, but it's also the accumulation of knowledge and understanding. There is supposed to be, as we spoke about in Chal Shudas, one of the ways in which we connect to the Kodesh Baruch Hu is through the intellectual medium. But there is a notion that the Torah that we study in this world comes with us to the next world and impacts our stature in that world. So Ashrei mi shabalakan v'talmudo biyado. B'yom Tlasin, on the 30th day, which was a little premature, also the Malacham of his Kain, Amar Lei, Maikulei Hai, HaKadokei Ragle. So he says, what are you doing here? You're kind of early. So HaKadokei Ragle Debar Nasan. You're pushing the legs of Rav Nasan. Rav Nasan was supposed to take over for Rav Ashi in terms of the Shalshalas HaMasor. Ve'malchus Nogas B'chaver To'afilu K'nei Mole Neima. If you remember all the way back when we learned in Rosh Hashanah, right, that we can't have overlap in leadership. We have to create a clear sense of continuity. So you have to come. You have to pass away. Rav Chizda lo havi yochalei. He couldn't. The Malcham Avis couldn't get to Rav Chizda. De lo havi shasik pumim igirso. Because he couldn't. He didn't stop learning. Solik Yosef Ba'arza. So the Malcham Avis, I don't know, created something that sat on top of a tree. Devei Rav Poka Arza, and the tree split. V'shosak, and that distracted Rav Chizda V'yochalei, and he was able to get him. Rav Chia lo hava matzel mikir v'lei Yoma. He couldn't get close to him. Yoma Chad Idmalei Ka'anya. He dressed up. The Malcham Avis dressed up as a poor person. Asa Taref Abava, and he came. Amarle Avikli Rifta, he says, give me bread. Afikule Amarle Vilav Kamerache Mara Anya, if you're certainly Mirachim, you have mercy on a poor person. Ahu Gavra, Milo Kamerachim, have Rachmanas on me. This is my job, this is my role in the world, in the universe, that the time has come. So Galile Achvale Shota. So he showed him this fiery rod, denura, amsele nafshe, and he surrendered his soul. Okay. Very exciting. Says the Gemara. Nashim b'moed. Okay. Mishnah. On the top of Chachesam Abbeis. Everybody, we're still here?
Yeah.
Okay, beautiful. Wow. Nashim b'moed, women on a moed, ma'anos v'lo mitpachos. They can chant, but they can't clap. They used to do things at funerals that we do not do today, right? I don't think anybody, maybe Svardim. Interesting things at funerals, right?
It was years ago. It was the Moroccans.
The Moroccans
scratched themselves,
right?
And hit themselves,
clapping and all sorts of things.
And yell.
Okay, very good. So noshim b'moed ma'anos, they're allowed to be ma'anem. They're allowed to chant. Aval lo mitpachos, they can't clap or beat. Rabbi Shmuel omer asmuchos lemita mitpachos. But those that are, Rabbi Shmuel says, those that are close to the mita itself, they can do such a thing. Barashi chadoshim b'chanukah v'purim. Me'anos u'mitpachos, they can be ma'ane, they can chant and they can beat, but zeh v'zeh lo mekoninos. But they're not on any, not on the moed, excuse me, and not on Rosh Chodesh, not on Chanukah, not on Purim, they cannot be mekoninos. Mekoninos means to be like mekoning, like kinos. Nikbar ha'meis, lo me'anos v'lo mitpachos, once the meis has been buried, you can't do ma'anos and not mitpachos on the moed. Ezu inui, what's called ine shekulon onos ka'achas. Everybody answers as one. Kina sha'achas medaberes v'kulon onos. A kina is where one person talks and everybody answers. Acharel, after her. Shenemar v'lamdena b'nosechem nehi v'isha roasa kina. Okay, so in other words, that she to teach to your children nehi v'isha roasa kina, and she would respond with some sort of kina. Then the Mishnah just wants to end the Masechta on a positive note, relatively. So the Mishnah says, "Aval la'osid lavo," but in the world to come, "Hu omer bila hamaves lanetzach umacha Hashem Elokim dima me'al kol panim," which you hear at many levayas, that eventually the death will be swallowed forever, and Hashem will wipe tears from all faces. Man amron, my amron. So the Gemara says, what would they say in these things? So Amar Rav, what would they say in these ma'anos? So Amar Rav, vay le'ozla, vay le'chavila. Vay le'ozla, woe is to the azal, to the walk, to the journey. Vay le'chavila, to the security. In other words, that the soul is taking its final journey, leaving the body, and that the body is releasing that which was given to it, and that is the soul, and it's going back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I feel like in anticipation of this daf, we should have all listened to the Neshamala song. That's like a perfect, none of you know what I'm talking about. Amar Rava, says Rava, Nishay Tishach Nitziv, these women of this community, Amran Hachi, they would say the following, and then we have a number of statements for them, number of different statements that they would say. Vaila Ozla, Vaila Chavila. That's the first one that we just said, that woe is to the journey, woe is to the return of what was given. The Amarava, Nishay, Dishachansiv, Amran, what would they say? Good Garma, Mechava, Vinamti, Maya, La'antichi, which means cut the bone from the tooth, bring the water to the kettle, right? Which basically means that the it's a reverse of what normally happens. In other words, something is that normally goes in from the kettle through the tooth down the throat is coming up through the throat into the kettle. The kettle's the source, the soul. So it's the soul leaving the body. The Amar Rava, Nishay D'Shechansiv, Amron, what did they say? Atuf V'Chasu Turei, that wrap and cover yourselves, O mountains, Davar Diber Rami Ubar Rivrive, because he was a man of greatness, of great distinction. In other words, it was a way to refer to the mace and to get everybody, to move everyone, that there was a sense of recognition of who this person was. What would they say? Shiyul Itztila Demilsa Lebar Chorin Dishlimu Zavde, which means the coffin is a robe of silk to a free man whose possessions are depleted. In other words, that sometimes if somebody wasn't as choshev, they would say, everybody should get together and be mechabed this person, even though they're poor, they should have a kavanah meis. V'amar Rav, Neshed Chansiv, Amran, Rohit V'nofil Amavara, Vayzupsa yazif. So what does that mean? That he runs and he falls at the crossing, that he yazif, that flows. So what does that mean? That he was essentially a tradesperson all their life, and then things got difficult, and even though he's poor, you should be able to support him. V'omar Rav Neshedish Chantziv Omron, Achana Tagri Azav Zagi Mivodku. So our brothers, the merchants, nests will be searched. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will look at those who work throughout their life to make sure that they are dealing with people honestly. That one death is like another. Suffering is that, in other words, all deaths are like regular deaths. And Miroyan, the suffering, chivulya, is like a type of interest. Tanya, we learned in the Brisa, Rimeiro, Mer, Tov Lelechas, Al Beis Avel, Ad Va'acha, Yitin, Alibo, Devarim, Shel Misa, De Yaspid, Yasfidunaya, that those who give Hespedim, beautiful Hespedim will be given about them, Dikvar Yikov Runya, those who immerse themselves in the chesed of burial, will themselves merit to be buried with dignity. Ditan yitanunya, those that carry, right? Today we have hearses. And, everybody at the Levaya, you have to get the six guys, and everybody has to sign the paper so that you could walk the maze 6 feet, right? But imagine a world where someone dies in a home, and the Beis HaKfaras is at the edge of town, and one of the things that needs to happen for Kavod HaMeis, being on the Chevra Kadisha didn't just mean that you had a pager, and you made some phone calls and set things in motion. It meant that you actually carried the mace. You dealt with the mace, completely. So for that schus, someone will do it for you. Didel yidulanya, the ikad amri, which means if someone raises others, others will raise him. The ikad amri, delo yidul yidulaya dechsiv, ki tov omar lecha Allah heina. Okay. Tan Rabbanan, when the sons of Rabbi Yishmael died, nichnasu dalid zakenim lenachmo. So four zakenim came in to be menachemim. Rav Tarfon, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva. Amr lehem Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Tarfon said to them before they went in, de'u shechacham gadolhu. Know that he's a great chacham. Ubaki ba'agados, and he knows the agados very well. Al yikanes echad mikem litoch divrei chaveru. Don't repeat what your friends are saying. Rabbi Wasserman, when I took over the shul, and I sat with him for a long time, and he gave me a lot of advice, which half of which I saw the wisdom in immediately, and half of which I had to make many mistakes to realize that he was right all along, because I was young and arrogant. And, one of the things that he told me that is important is that when you're organizing a levaya, to give some attention to sitting with the different people who are going to speak at the Levaya, and to make sure that they're hitting different themes so that not everybody is just sitting there listening to the same three things over and over and over. It doesn't mean it's not the same three attributes. People could have experienced the person differently, but if everybody's telling the same three stories, that's not as much of a kavod ames as to be able to bring out the breadth of, and that takes a certain administrative rabbinic quality, not just ritual rabbinic quality, to flush that out, to try to do that. So that's what he's saying. He's saying that you're all going to walk in and you all have the best pasuk and mishle to capture the essence of this child. You're all going to say the same thing. It's not going to resonate with him. Why not? Because in the human experience, the diversity of expression is part of what draws out the different emotions and the different feelings and the different ways to process the loss. Amar Rabbi Akiva, v'ani achron. Rabbi Akiva said, and I want to go last. Pasach Rabbi Yishmael, so Rabbi Yishmael started. V'amar, and he said, Rabu avonosov tachvu avolov. So, before Rabbi Yishmael started, this is Rabbi Yishmael talking. Rabbi Yishmael says, Pasach Rabbi Yishmael, who's the Ovel, says, Rabu Avanosav, my sins are much, Tachfu Avelov, my Avelus has been thrust upon me, Triach Rabosav Pamri Shona Vishniya. This is the second time that my Chaverim have to come because he lost two children. Nenu Rabbi Tarfon Ve'omar, so Rabbi Tarfon responds and he says, Va'achichem kol beis Yisrael yivku es asreifa. That with regards to Nadav and Avihu, everybody mourned their death. Va'alo dvarim kavachomer, ma Nadav Avihu shul asol ha-mitzvah achas. Nadav and Avihu, and the Mefarshim say, it doesn't mean they only did one mitzvah their whole life, they were beautiful people. But it means begetter their avoda and kahuna. They only did one thing for kahuna, and then disaster struck. So how much more so the schusim of Rabbi Yishmael's children who did so many things, alachas kama kama. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Eva Omar, Nenor Yossi Aglili Omar. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, this is my aspect. V'softu lo kol Yisrael v'kibru oso. And all of Klal Yisrael gave him a hasped and they buried him. Malo dvarim kal v'chomer. And there's a kal v'chomer here. Uma Avya ben Yeravam shlo asa ela davar echad tov. Avya the son of Yeravam, who only did one good thing. Dichsiv be ya'an nimtza bo davar tov. There was one good thing that we found in him. Kach barav Rabbi Yishmael achas kama v'kama. So certainly children of Rabbi Yishmael, who did so many good things. My davar tov was the one good thing that he did. That when his father Yeravam was taking control over the northern kingdom, and he didn't want to allow the people that lived there to reach Yerushalayim to be Ola Regel, because they would see the kingship in Yerushalayim, and they would be subject to the validation that existed there of the kingship against his reign. So what did he do? He put people to guard the roads leaving to Yerushalayim. What did his son do? Bitel mishmarto ba'olo l'regel. So one says that he ignored it, and he was olo l'regel himself. V'chadamar shebitel par dasos. Shehoshev yiravim aviv al adrochim shlo yalu Yisrael l'regel. And some say that he removed the guards that were on the roads so that the Jewish people couldn't be olo l'regel. Ne, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah v'omar b'shalom t'amos v'misrifos abasecha amalachim arishonim asher ayu lefanecha kein yisrifu lecha. This is talking about Tzidkiyahu Melech Yehuda. So Tzidkiyahu Melech Yehuda, who got all this covered when he died, so shelo asela mitzvah achas, he had one major mitzvah, she'ela yirmiyo minatit, that he took Yirmiyo out from the prison, from the mud that they put him in. Kachbanav shabishma achas kama v'kama. So negne Rabbi Akiva v'omar, Rabbi Akiva answers and he says, bayom ahu, yigadel ha-misped b'Yerushalayim. On this day, on a particular day, there's going to be a great esped in Yerushalayim. Kemisped adar hadar rimon bivkas megido. And this hesped in Yerushalayim, which it's a machlokas elsewhere in the Gemara, what this hesped is for. This hesped might be for Mashiach ben Yosef, right? That's the one that dies, right? Mm-hmm. Mashiach ben Yosef, who dies. Or the hesped might be for the Yetzer Hara, some of Arshim say. That they're going to Shech the Yetzer Hara. Kemisped adar mimon. But who's the comparison to? So there are two possibilities. One is the comparison is to Kemisved Adar Dimon Bivkas Megiddo, the esped that occurred in Megiddo. Amar Rabbi Yosef Irmale Targuma Da Aikro Lo Avi Adana. Without the Targum, we would not have known the pshat in this pasuk. My kamar beina hahu. At that time, Yaske Mispada BeYerushalayim. There will be an esped in Yerushalayim. Kemisved Da Achav Bar Amri Dikotel Yasye Hadar Dimon Bar Tavrimon. And it would be a hesped like the one of Achav. Kemisped de Yoshia bar Amon de Koto Yase para Chagira bevikas b'Megido. And the other possibility is like the hesped of Yoshio, who is killed by Paro Necho in Megiddo. And we know that story that Yoshio Amelech, he took over very young, and he transformed the Jewish people. He led this tshuva movement. He thought that it was totally successful. Yirmiyo tried to tell him that behind closed doors, people were still struggling. He decided not to allow Paro Necho to pass through Yerushalayim because in a state of of Osin Ritzono Shalmakum, La Sava Cherev Baratzicha, and Yirmiyahu told him he was wrong, and in the end, Paro attacks, and the showdown is in Megiddo, and they kill Yoshio. And that's the Kina that we say on Tisha B'Av, Yikonin Yirmiyahu al Yoshio. Uma Achav Elach Yisrael Shloas Eladavar Echad Tov, Achav, who was really one of the worst kings we ever had. They only did one good thing. Dichsev, what was the good thing? That when they were fighting Aram, even though he was injured, mortally injured, he stood himself up so that people would still, the soldiers would still have confidence in themselves and keep fighting. Right? When the soldiers feel like not all is lost, then they have a sense that they could still fight. I remember when I took the tour of Ammunition Hill. They have a tank on top of Ammunition Hill, and they tell this story that when the soldier was fighting, it was one of the bloodiest battles of the Six-Day War. So they positioned this tank on top of the hill, even though it was totally empty and couldn't do anything, because the soldiers would look up and they'd see a tank, and they would say to themselves, "Ah, like, we got a tank," even though the tank couldn't fire and the tank couldn't, it was totally incapacitated. It gives a certain sense of chizuk. Kach banav shel Rabbi Yishmael, alachas kama v'kama, so the children of Rabbi Yishmael, who did so much more than Achav, alachas kama v'kama, Amar, Le Ravo Le Rabba Bar Mari, Ksibe Bitzidkiyo Bisholom Tomos, Ksibis Ene Tzidkiyo Iver. It says by Tzidkiyohu that he died in peace, and it says that Nebuchadnezzar put out his eyes. So Amar Le Achi, Amar Rav Yochanan. So which is it? Did he die in peace, or did they blind him? Amar Rav Yochanan, Shemes Nebuchadnezzar B'yamav. It means that even though Nebuchadnezzar tortured him, still Nebuchadnezzar died in the days of Tzidkiyohu. He outlived Nebuchadnezzar. Amar Rava L'Rabba Bar Mari, Ksibbe B'Yoshiyo, L'chein Inini Yosibcha Alav Osecha, V'Nesavta L'Kvur Osecha B'Shalom. It says, I'll bring you to Kvura B'Shalom, V'Ksibba Yorah Yorim L'Melech Yoshiyo. And it says that they fired so many arrows, his body, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Shasu K'Kivra, that his body was like a sieve. So Amar Le, Amar Hachi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shalachara Beis Amindosh B'Yamav. The Yoshiyo, even though he did die a terrible death, a traumatic death, a violent death, nevertheless, he died at least before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash wasn't going to be destroyed for another 22 years. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Menachmim Rishai Lomar Davar Ad Sheyiftach. So we'll stop with this, that now we're back to a din. The din is that when you come to be Menachem somebody, you're not allowed to speak until the Ad Sheyiftach Avel, until the Avel speaks first. Shenemar achrei kein pasach Iov es piu v'hadar v'yan elifas atem bani. That Iov, which is one of our biggest examples of an avel, of someone who suffers, his friends that came to be menachem him couldn't talk until he first spoke. And the mefarshim, this is a din in Shulchan Aruch, and it's a din that's often not observed properly. That people walk into a shiva house and they think that it's their job to make conversation. And somehow that's so we won't, you know, obviously sometimes the nature of the conversation is inappropriate. It's totally inappropriate to walk into a shiva house and just make conversation, certainly conversation that's distracting from the avelus. The whole point of shiva is to reflect on the loss of the individual. So to go ahead and raise like things that are going on in the community and what's going on with your kids and what's happening with whatever and, you know, things that have nothing to do with the mace at all, with the loss at all, that certainly is not appropriate. But even the fear that people have, the social anxiety that often sets in, people are very afraid of silence. They think there's something traumatically wrong with silence in a shiva house. I've gone to many shiva houses, sat down in the front row for 20 minutes, said not one word, stood up and said, Amakom Yenachem, and walked out the door. And sometimes, you have to gauge, sometimes an avel wants to talk, and then you talk. And there are things that you can bring up if it seems like the avel wants to talk, but they're not such a social person, not such a conversationalist. You can ask things that are not unrelated to the avelus, but also not inappropriate. Like, it would be very inappropriate to say, how did the person die, right? You know, and then they tell you, well, they were sick. Well, what did they have? They had cancer. Well, what kind of cancer? Right? These are very inappropriate and harmful and hurtful questions and totally halachically prohibited in a shiva house to start asking all these questions. And even if the avel offers up some of the story, which often they do, because it's sort of very traumatic and they're kind of processing it by bringing it out over and over, they're not looking for you to ask, and did it this? Oh, they were in that hospital? You know what I mean? Like, that's not helpful, you know? Or to hear, oh, they had this kind of illness? My mother-in-law had this kind of illness. And then to tell your whole story for 10 minutes, everybody has to listen to you talk. That's not what a base level is about. To say something like, oh, where did you grow up? And that gives them a chance to talk a little bit about their childhood and their parents. You know, where are your parents from? Were they born in America? Were they born in Europe? Innocuous questions that could either be answered with a one-word answer, and it's clear that the Avil doesn't want to speak more, or questions that could serve as an impetus for a conversation that allows them to talk about the life of their departed, but without necessarily inflicting, harm on them, that they should feel like they have to open up wounds and reflect on those kinds of things. But the silence is a big deal. The silence is a big deal because what it misses is really the most important part of the Shiva visit, which is that the most important part of the Shiva visit is being there and not what you say. There are no dinim about what to say. There are dinim about what not to say, because the most important thing, if you walk into a Shiva house and the Avil says nothing, especially in the first day or two, the Avil says nothing and you say nothing, and you just sit there as long as you can, and then you leave, you have done Nichum Avel. You've done Nichum Avel. And that's because there's just a sense of presence. There's a sense of being there. And that isolation and loneliness that comes from losing people that are so definitional to your life, that's part of what you're trying to be Menachim. That's part you're trying to tell the person they're not alone. They're with the community. That's why we have Shiva. That's why we try to give them this opportunity. So that's what the Gemara is saying. That in Avel, you shouldn't talk unless the Avel speaks. Avel speaks first. And you shouldn't feel awkward. And you shouldn't feel like you did something wrong, like you messed up the Shiva visit. Like a Shiva visit, if I didn't have, this person, they had such great things to say, and they said things that the Avel felt so comforted by, and here I have nothing to say, and I can't think of anything, so you're thinking, maybe I should say this, maybe I should say that. Don't put pressure on yourself. You have nothing to say, say nothing. Just be there and move on. Some Avelim like to talk, some Avelim don't like to talk. And that's it. I have definitely in Shiva houses steered conversations back to the Avel sometimes when they're too off course. But this is a big part of that, big part of that mitzvah. Okay, we'll stop here and then we'll finish up the last off. What's the plan?